morning. Nice to see you all. We have four panelists. I'll call out your name. Is this coming working okay? I'll call out your names, and then you have a place up here at the top. So from 10:45 until noon, when you will be able to take a break and go get lunch and listen to Josh, and we'll have prizes, which we didn't expect to have, so that's what your little ticket is for. And we're going to have two discussions this morning. The first discussion will run for like 35 minutes, and then we'll have time for people to interact. Each of the panelists will talk for 5 minutes on each of two topics. So it'll make sense as we go along. So Gina Andre from Central Texas Genealogical Society. Yes, you have a place up at the table. Sandra Crowley from a couple of societies, but we have her down for Dallas Genealogical Society right now. And Patty Gillespie is here from Wise County Genealogical Society. And Cheryl Rasher from Erath County Genealogical Society. Is Cheryl here?
Yes.
Okay. Everybody showed up. That's great. Yes, please take your seats. So the first topic that we're going to be discussing, and these topics, by the way, were identified at last year's summit meeting and in the evaluation feedback that we got as some of the ones that sort of rose to the surface as being the most critical to us. So the first topic is retaining and increasing membership. And the panelists are going to talk from 10:45 to 11:05, and then we've got at least 15 minutes for folks to chime in and talk. There are notes pages in your handout on pages 5 and 6. They're blank. If you didn't bring anything to write with, I think you have some Find My Past pencils in the middle of your table. And what I'm going to do, panelists, is set my iPhone up, and when the buzzer goes off, the iPhone is telling you... That's it. Kaput. All right. So we're getting started a little early, which is great. I think I have a place to sit here. And I don't care what order y'all go into, so whoever wants to talk, bring the mic close to you, and we'll get underway.
She pushed it over to her.
That works.
My name is Cheryl Rasher. I'm actually a member of the Fort Worth Genealogical Society, and I'm an officer of the Erath County Genealogical Society. I just bet that you've been to a program before where you've heard a speaker say, if you're researching a certain area, you should join that society. And I will chime into that because I've learned more in the past 5 years with Erath County than I have in 30 years of doing genealogy. So I love my genealogy society in Erath County. But I'm supposed to be talking to you about retaining and increasing membership, and I'm going to put forward that or retaining and recruiting. So if you can retain, then recruiting is not that important. In fact, those people that you are retaining are going to recruit for you. And of course, when I say you, I don't mean you individually, but you, your group. When I was in the corporate world, we had what we called an onboarding plan, and we were investing a certain amount of money. I was trying to remember this morning driving in. I want to say it was some crazy number, like $100,000, to get an employee from a college new hire to where we wanted them to be as a full-time employee. But whatever the value is, you're investing a lot of effort, and you want to do more than just get them as a member. You want to keep them as a member. So, yes, it's important that we do things like have a new member packet where they become aware from the beginning what the goals and the mission statement, what are the key objectives of the group at that time. But it's also helpful to provide them with a contact list. I can't tell you how many times I was making that call to the president or the vice president of the Genealogical Society once I got my foot in the door of, oh, gee, who should I talk to about this community that no longer exists or this particular cemetery that I've become aware of? So a contact list about who in your organization is researching particular surnames or particular communities in your county or time eras. We have members who are in the groups like Sons of Confederate Veterans or Daughters of the Republic of Texas. So it's good to know who's researching what. That becomes helpful to your members. Yes, packets are nice. Personal touch is better. Do you have greeters at your meetings? Are you reaching out to that new person, calling them by first name? Are you making a point to introduce them to other people at the meetings? And I say meetings, my folks are crazy about, and I say my folks, they're like family. They like field trips. They like more than just, and we only meet quarterly. It's a rural community. A lot of us are coming from the farm or from out of county. And let's see, I've lost my train of thought. So they're interested in, yes, they want to come to the four quarterly meetings and hear a good program. An annual survey helps with keeping in tune with what it is they're hoping to get out of the year coming ahead. And also it helps you pick up on the not only the special interests but the special skills of those members. And so if you have a member who has a unique skill, you want to tap into that as quickly as possible, but not overload them with a great burden. Give them something small to begin with and hook them up with the buddy system. Put them on a committee. Don't immediately earmark them that they're responsible for your major project all by themselves. Let's see. So I mentioned that if you work on retaining membership, then those who are retained will work on recruiting for you. They'll be telling their family and friends what a good time they're having. We've had a number of new members come in because we had a field trip to someone's farm who had something historical on their ranch, or to Thurber, where there's a museum of the old coal mine. Let's see. I mentioned surveys, feedbacks, and usually I find that people are not in the organization so much to find out. Yes, you do want to have some how-tos. Uh-oh, my time's up. Now you're just hanging on. What was her next thought?
Well, go ahead and say it.
Oh, I can't remember. See, I'm over 60 now, so my memory span is like, you know, if the sentence doesn't go to the end, whoops, it's gone.
All right. Thank you. Somebody else step forward there.
I'll go next. Right. I'm Gina Andre. I'm the Vice President of the Central Texas Genealogical Society, and I'm glad to be here with all of you today. I'm program chair, basically, is what I do, but I have a background in marketing and own a business. I was in the business world for many years, and I started thinking about this topic, and one of the things that I think is important is for each of us to put ourselves back to the moment that we joined our particular society. Think about what motivated you to join to begin with, okay? And for most of us, it was probably a selfish reason, okay? Think about, for me it was. A lot of the research says we joined for camaraderie. Well, for me, it really wasn't for camaraderie, but I needed a networking person. I needed a skilled person to help me get to that next level. So I joined for a selfish reason. Well, I found camaraderie and I found a lot of things from joining, but we all join for different reasons. So I think it's important you go back to your boards and talk to your board members and ask them, what was the reason you joined to begin with? And it wasn't so I could become vice president of the society. I can tell you that right now. Okay? Had other things to do, but it was a specific issue for us. Later on, I wanted to improve my research skills, but that wasn't my first initial reason to come. I had something I wanted to overcome to get past, and I had a desire, a curiosity, but I needed help, and I needed to talk to expert people, and that's all of you, okay? So I think that's the first thing you do when you're thinking about membership. I do think a greeter at the door is important, but I thought about this as well. We have a little bit of downtime when people are coming into our meetings, and we have a monthly meeting. One of the things I think is important that is we have a board member that's a greeter as our in the room itself that goes and introduces themselves to someone they do not know and says and meets them. Okay, I think that is very important. So you need a room host and you need a greeter at the door. And I would just alternate with board members. That's my idea there. I think it's important that we all invite, we encourage people, maybe have a contest or something to invite new members, a neighbor, somebody that's not come, maybe that's not even interested in genealogy. Just come with us one night. We'd love to have you one night. Be my guest, you know. I think potential members want to see the value in choosing membership. Okay? They do want to see the value in it. But I think our problem is we've got to learn to be, and I'm married to a salesperson, y'all, so that's where I'm coming from. We must be better salespersons. A good salesperson offers solutions. So what solutions are you offering for your new members? If you're going to attract new members, what solutions are you offering? You've got to inspire trust. Think about courting somebody. When you met your spouse or significant other, it was a process, right? Sometimes they're not sure they want to be a member right off the bat. So give them a little time to process, maybe several meetings that they come, and don't just, you know, bam, hit them with the membership, right? Give them a little bit of process to offer it. And but we must offer solutions. And I think those first critical meetings are where you offer solutions, and that makes a difference. One of the things that we've done to inspire new membership, retain membership, I'll tell you that, first of all, in our November meeting, it's really easy. Our membership chair hands out a renewal form and asks for the member renewals right there. So we get them right there. We also, for those that don't attend that last meeting of the year, we send a return envelope, self-addressed, and we retain our members there. For new membership, one of the things that we've been doing, and you may or may not like the statistics, we have a beginner's genealogy class once a quarter. And we give a free membership to anybody that wants one at our quarterly beginner genealogy meetings. And what we've showed is from 2015 in a three-year period, we've showed about a 25% retention rate. That's after 3 years. They're still joining after 3 years. So the 2014s, the 2015s that are now members in 2017, we're getting about a 25% retention rate. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Sandra Crowley. I'm representing Dallas Genealogical Society today, and I won't list all the societies I belong to. Some local, some not local. One of the things that we always tell our members, if you're researching in an area and you don't live in that area, it's okay to join the society remotely because then you can learn something about it. But as far, and that's one of the things that we can do as a society as well, offer something that even remote users would be interested in, learning about the resources that are available in our area. One of the first things I think a society needs to do, whether it's looking for new members or retaining members, is first of all, decide what kind of society you are. Are you a society that really wants to focus on resources and research and teach people how to research? Are you a society that wants to work on preservation projects, and you have a lot of projects, so you want to recruit people who are interested in working on projects with you? Are you a society that likes to provide educational opportunities and to teach new people, to recruit people that we want to teach people to understand how to get started in genealogy and how to mentor and teach other people. And make that, is that what's in your mission statement? And are you fulfilling what's in your mission statement? Those are the kinds of things that will help you decide who your society is and help you present yourself. And if you present your authentic self to members, then you're going to be able to recruit and retain members. One of the societies I belong to has doubled its membership in the last few years. And at this point in time, that's kind of unusual for genealogical societies today. And we've done that through a variety of different topics and different processes. One thing that we've done is offer some educational seminars at no charge, not fundraisers. But as a result of those, we've got in close to 100 people in one seminar. And out of that one seminar, we got 20 new members. And that was a couple of years ago. Those people are not only still members, but they brought some friends with them. And so when you were talking about bringing your friends with you, if you're like me and you enjoy genealogy, how many people do you meet that within about an hour, 30 minutes to an hour, they know that you're doing genealogy research? And most of them are probably have seen the ads on Ancestry and go, you know, I've been meaning to look for. So all of a sudden you started a conversation. It's very easy to segue that into, you know, this society meets on this day, this night, at this time, every month on a regular basis. We'd love to have you join us for one of our meetings. And it's amazing how many people will take you up on that. Maybe not today. There was one lady that I worked with that was very interested in doing that, and I'd been inviting her, and she said, I just can't do it right now. Well, this year, she came. Now her lifestyle is such, Now her lifestyle is such that she was able to attend, so she has joined us, and she's joined the society and is ready to get involved with it. The other thing that some of our members do is when we have new members come in, yes, we greet them. We do not put them on the spot and ask them to introduce themselves. We had did that for a while and saw that people were uncomfortable, so we stopped doing that. But we do greet them. We do have people that are hosts that go around and introduce themselves to them and make sure that they're comfortable. If they want to share, they're more than welcome to share, but we don't ask them to do that. We'll ask them maybe to raise their hand if they're a member so that we can be sure and greet them afterwards. But the other thing that we do is we have, as someone mentioned, we have a beginning spot kind of at the beginning of the session where if somebody's brand new and they've got some questions, they can come at 6:30, they can meet with a small group of people, and they can get some tips. We also, on a quarterly basis, have a meeting where members help members. So we'll bring topics and we'll share what our brick walls are and get in smaller groups and try to help each other break through those brick walls. We've started a new program this year that's in one of the societies that's called a brick wall program, where if you've got something you're really having trouble with, we've got a form you can fill out to give us your information and we'll find somebody that can help you in that particular area. For retaining your members, you need to engage your current members with your new members. You need to create the committees. You need to encourage them, like you said, not to be totally responsible for something. But it can be as simple as hospitality, and once a month if you bring refreshments, ask somebody to help. Don't be responsible for bringing everything, but help. Just do one or two things. Just greet someone at the door one month a year. Not do it every month, or have a rotating schedule. Those are the kinds of things. Do survey the members for the types of programs. We do have people who respond to that. Consider starting some special interest groups. And I'm done.
Yay.
Very good. You already know my name because it's right there. I represent the Wise County Genealogical Society. We began this society 4 years ago, I believe, heading into our fifth year now, in a county that is semi-rural, a lot of intense football competition. The communities are fairly spread out, and as I came to realize, it is actually like a wagon trip away, is how they've kind of grown up through the years. And in our county, it could actually take someone well over 30 to 45 minutes to come in to where we have our meetings, because it is large and it is semi-rural and not everybody lives in town or in one of those towns. And sometimes there's not a, as a crow flies, way to get to us. That said, it has made it interesting because of these rivalries, the communities, and of course every community has the same colors as their schools, and it has made for a unique environment to start a cross-county group. When we began the society, and we've learned a lot since then, we did everything right. We have bylaws, we have a mission statement, a goal statement, some other statement. But who really cares, except when we realize that we need to update something. The thing that we found that matters the most, and there has been attrition because we are mature people. You like that word? It's better than old. With maturity, there comes death. There comes widowhood or becoming a widower. There comes illness. There comes family, travels, and things that come along. And so I forgot where I was going with that, too. Fluid. It can be. And yet, on the other hand, what I'm hearing us all say is that we're trying to create a group that someone wants to be to. We're trying to create a group that someone will miss if they're not there. And we're trying to create a group that someone will be missed when they're not there. I've heard everyone talk about greeting. I'm the greeter. As the president that no one else wants to be, I'm the greeter. And I would say that it's also very important that we have wonderful officers that are responsible, that will do the work that they need to do, that will accomplish something, that the president doesn't bear all that. Sometimes we make a mistake in asking people to serve and telling them it's not a big deal. Let's ask them to serve and tell them it is a big deal, and that they are being asked to serve because we have seen these qualities and characteristics in them. Let us give them an opportunity to rise to the challenge and participate, because we all know that we find an ownership and we find relationships when we serve together, do we not? So that's one thing. We have amazing, one of the counselors, or she's our secretary, Sally, is here today. I have amazing people who lighten my burden so that I can be out there talking to the people and welcoming them and making connections. We also have gone online. I don't know how much time I have left. We have a website. We've set up a PayPal. We don't do everything in person. I was just talking to my group. Memberships can be done online through PayPal for those mature individuals who are not suspicious of doing things in that way. We also have the... It's not the square, it's the PayPal triangle. We can put into our phones with the app and accept credit cards at the time when it's time to pay. We do whatever we can to make things easy so that we can concentrate on our purpose. And our purpose is to help our members research through knowledge and through experience and through sharing. Our purpose is to give everyone an opportunity and a place to come together who share the same interest. And so that's what we try to do through a variety of things. We also do our elections online. We do our elections online. We announce our officers in person. We have discovered this to be very helpful because, again, we are a mature group. Not everyone's feeling really well. Not everybody's in town. In our bylaws, we do not require a quorum. If we only have 15 people there to vote, or to who return the email, that's okay. We have no qualifications for how many have to vote before the vote can be counted. And that takes a lot of pressure off how many people actually feel like sending back an email that day. We have been doing a summer seminar every summer, and that has increased our group to include others who are interested and bring them with us. And thank you for your time.
Hey, thank you all very much. Just even better than I had hoped for. And we have time now for all of you, anybody who, I saw some people jotting things down. Whether you want to ask a question, you have a comment, you've collaborated with another society in this area of retaining and increasing memberships, or you just read something and have some ideas. We have a mic in the back of the room. And please, share your thoughts with us. It would be great to hear from some of you. Go ahead.
I need to go back there. I got a big voice.
I know. You want to come up here?
I'll come up there.
Yeah.
That's easier.
I just think my question is to Sandra Crowley. Mm-hmm. You mentioned a room host. What does the room host do?
Well, our room host basically starts a conversation with them, ask them what they're researching. If they know someone else in the area who's researching in that same area, then they'll introduce them to that person. They'll find out just a little bit of how much research they've been doing. Are they new, just getting started? Have they been researching for a while? If they're just getting started and are looking for some help there, then we'll take them to somebody that does that before the meetings, introduce them to them, find out when the next one is. So we try to find out a little bit about where they are in their research journey and see if we can connect them with people that can help mentor them along the way.
Okay, so that's just free, keeping the greeter free.
Yeah, that keeps the greeter free and lets the host. And we have several people who kind of walk around at each meeting. Obviously, as Patty mentioned, our officers do that too. But some of our officers, our program vice president, for example, is generally pretty busy making sure everything's ready for the speaker. But we have other people who do that, who just go around and greet the person. And if they get the feel that person might like to stand up in front of the group, we'll ask them that, and then we'll let the president know and give them an opportunity to say something there. Some of them say, I just moved to the area, I don't know anybody, but I'd like to find out if there's anybody here who does X. So then we'll ask them, well, would you want to mention that at the beginning of the meeting, and then we'll ask them to stand up and do that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Good question, Ryan.
Okay. I'm Tony Hansen. You know, we've talked about the desirability of having some training as a really good way to bring people into our societies and have some intro to genealogy type classes. And I see that as an opportunity perhaps for us to work together. It would be wonderful if, as kind of a North Texas group, we could kind of perhaps come together and work together to put opportunities like that together and to put them on. Because if you've done it, you know, it's a fair amount of work, and it's hard to kind of keep getting the same people over and over again. You know, I think it would be an opportunity for us as a community of societies to perhaps cooperate on developing some PowerPoint presentations so we all kind of don't have to do that burden, and perhaps even to come together as groups and say, well, let's come to Mesquite, or let's go to Rockwall, let's go whatever, and put on an intro to genealogy thing cooperatively as a community of genealogists. And I would see that as a way that we could work together to kind of get people interested and get them involved and get them in the front door.
So it struck me when you all were talking that, we talk about our society and what our society is doing and that, what?
She's got a question. She's
there behind, was someone behind.
She's behind,
oh,
the, she's
oh,
behind the phone.
I didn't see you. Okay.
I'm the second VP for East Texas Genealogical Society. And knew, well, the lady that had been doing it had been doing it for years, but I've noticed that we have some new people that will come and join, but then they just kind of peter out and don't come back. So I guess the follow-up with that is real important, and to see why they're not coming, like you were saying, if we're not fulfilling their needs or what they're looking for in an organization, that happens. And then I was glad to hear some of the comments about how to maybe attract more, because that's, like all the other organizations are. We're the mature group, and we just don't seem to be attracting members. So, but on the particularly about the ones that join and that maybe come back one meeting and then we don't see them anymore.
I think you've got an excellent point about if you know somebody who knows them very well, then they can ask them, was there something that you were looking for that we weren't able to, that you didn't feel you had there? But I found a lot of them, if they don't come back again, they're pretty eager to tell you why they didn't come back again. If somebody will just ask them, they'll say, nobody greeted me. Or they'll say, well, I didn't like the speaker. Well, that's only that one evening, for the speaker didn't have anything to say that I was interested in. So then you kind of can feel them out on what they were really interested in. The other thing you can do for getting new people, and as we talked about, I talked about doing like an educational seminar. One of the things we do with the library is once a quarter, we'll have one of our people who works with technology offer a Sunday afternoon, 2 hours. They're going to be teaching Photoshop. They're going to be teaching Family Tree Maker. They're going to be teaching Roots Magic. No charge, open to anybody from the public, from the library, to come in and do that. And that helps us get a lot of people in, too.
And we are doing some things like that on some Saturday morning. Scott is doing some things up in the library and how to do this and how to do that. We haven't seen any memberships generated from that, new members, but we are doing that, and a few people attend. I don't know what his attendance has been for all of them, but we have started reaching out and doing a few things like that, so hopefully we'll see some return for that investment.
The thing to remember about that is you probably won't see an immediate return. What you will see is they may come to the next one you do, and then you'll see you have a one-day seminar and they come to that. And so they'll start gradually coming in. They're not ready to make that. It's kind of a marathon for them. It's not just I'm going to join in right away. But you will see that.
Okay, thank you.
May I add, there's a point to consider, too, that we should enjoy those members that we do have.
Exactly.
And not be too concerned in some ways. Yes, it's a good thing to reach out. It's a good thing to build a group. But on the other hand, it's also a good thing to enjoy those that we have. And, in fact, that will attract others as is needed. And it's sometimes not a bad thing to let someone float away. Sometimes some personalities are not those that we would want to engage. Did I say that as tactfully as I can? And sometimes people join us, and we are a genealogy group. And sometimes they don't even understand what that means. So it's like, you know, maybe being in junior high school and going to a college class where people are talking, but we don't understand what they're saying. So yes, you know, nurturing that is a great idea, but sometimes it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah, just go to the back for the mic, please.
Hi, I'm Denise. I'm from the Rockwall County Genealogical Society. And something that we have tried and we're still evaluating the effectiveness of it is we have a couple members who have these neighborhood email groups, and we've sent like email blasts out to them to encourage membership. And we've also, in the lobby of the library, I made a big sign. We put it on one of these stands, announcing that our meeting is this evening upstairs, 6 to 8 p.m. We're still trying to see if that has done anything, but it's an idea. We're trying. Just thought I would share that with y'all if you're interested.
So. It's a good idea.
Thank you.
Thank you. I didn't realize I was cutting somebody off here. Okay. Pete Jacobs, Arlington Genealogical Society, and just to add to the idea bin that we've been feeding, our society makes a point of anybody that comes in the door, whether they're a guest or a member, to sign in, and the new, or the guests, as we call them, people that have not been to our meetings before, get introduced right up front as we begin our meeting for the evening. And they're invited to share their interests, their family line, that kind of thing, or simply to say, I'm here, I'm interested in the program. And but in other words, we recognize the folks that come into the meeting and then follow up later. I thought I'd just mention that.
Just go back behind Mick, and you can be next.
I'm Mick Barnett. I've been a number of different societies and hereditary societies and stuff like that, but I also wear another hat that I work upstairs in the eighth floor, the genealogy section here at the library. I was president of the Collin County Genealogical Society. One of the things that we had there, when you sign in at each meeting, they have a membership list. I mean, a member sign-in and a guest sign-in. And that seems to bring, usually whoever's sitting there at the registration table can often approach the newer people and answer some of their questions and kind of, you know, do what y'all are talking about, your room host and stuff like that. So far as the library, field trips. I don't know if your society is considered that, but we see a lot of societies that bring in their memberships. They it's thing, you know, from wherever you come from. You come as a group, maybe several cars, maybe a bus, whatever it takes. And we have a standing time on Saturday mornings about 10:30 that anybody that's interested in a tour of the library, the genealogy section. So that's kind of a standing thing, but it doesn't matter. If you come in at 2:05 in the afternoon, and sometimes we'll ask you, have you been here before? Or you'll make a comment, we haven't been here before, or something like that. And we'll ask you, would you like a tour? It's only cost 25 cents. I mean, you know. but anyway, so a lot of people take us up on it. Once in a while, we'll get people, I haven't been here in 20 years. And, well, we'll say, well, a lot has changed. So, but also, when you're coming as a group, you've got that camaraderie. You've got the people riding with each other. You've got people who get to eat lunch with each other, a lot of different things. And you become familiar with the people and what they're trying to research. And people will mentor other people. And so that might be a consideration for each of your societies.
Thanks.
One thing Mid-Cities has done along those same lines is we set up programs like that for road trips, but what we do the meeting before the road trip is we have a speaker from that organization come out and talk about their collections. So if we're planning a trip to the Fort Worth Library, we'll have somebody from the Fort Worth Library come and tell us what collections they've got. We've done the same thing for Dallas. Ari Wilkins came out and talked to us about that. We've had someone from the Amon Carter Museum, and we've done a road trip there. We're planning one to some other libraries later this year. It just reinforces the collections, and then they go out and do the research.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm Cheryl Waters from the Denison Genealogy Society. We're a very small group, and we were bigger. We're dwindling in membership and trying to find ways to increase that. What I'm hearing from all of you is sounds like that you meet in the evening. We are a mature group, and I'm afraid if we changed our meeting to evenings instead of daytime, we would lose most of our members who probably don't drive at night. Do y'all see a huge benefit in it being evening or on Saturday as opposed to a weekday afternoon?
May I answer that?
Since sure, go ahead.
Okay. I found it very interesting. Well, first off, meeting in the evening allows those who are still working and are not retired to attend. That's a given right there. But secondly, as many times as we asked our group if they wanted to meet in the afternoon, they said they didn't. And we would take poll every year, and they didn't want to meet in the afternoon. So they were good with the evening. Again, I found that very interesting. So maybe they were able to have a complete day and meet all their plans, and then they came in the evening. But it's definitely worth asking and trying, but the evening does give an opportunity to provide those who are still working a chance to attend.
Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Deborah Ustrey from Lamar County Genealogy Society and the library. I'm the librarian there. We have a Facebook group. I don't know how many people have a Facebook group, but we do have a Facebook group. You do not have to be a society member actually to be in it, but you do have to have interest with ancestors in Lamar County. We have gotten, of course, we would love for at least a fourth of our Facebook group to become society members. We currently have over 800 members in our Facebook group, but it has brought in memberships. And people also coming and making trips to Parrish to do genealogy research. So that might be a little bit help if you don't have one. Venture out and make a Facebook group.
She also does this ever so often. Shame on you if you're not helping support the society.
Okay. Little trip.
Hi, Tony Hansen again. Just one more thought. You know, in our society, we've got some 400 or so members, and in a, you know, a good month, we'll have 60 at a general meeting, and that's a lot of people that aren't at the meeting. And so what we have endeavored to try to do over the past year is to make a video recording of each of our meetings and post them on Facebook and make them available to our remote members. And, you know, so that kind of solves the time of day, day of week issue, too. Some people that are interested but just can't make it have been participating in that, and we've been receiving some pretty good feedback. So that's another idea, and it'd be something that I, as kind of a technology guru, would be happy to work with anybody who would like to take that step, and I would be happy to help you learn what you need to know.
So I have a question.
Yes.
So do you have your own YouTube channel then?
Yes.
And so you count how many people, you're able to count how many people have actually viewed the videos?
Yes.
So what are your numbers as opposed to your membership attendance, may I ask?
It depends on the meeting. It depends on the topic. You know, when we have speakers, for example, we had a very good presentation last month by David Passman, one of our members, and the last time I checked, that had about 130 views.
Okay.
So the general meetings, not quite so interesting, but still a surprising and a pleasing number of people do watch our dull general meetings. And so, you know, I feel like we're reaching out to more people than we would otherwise.
Sure. And I guess I am going to just put this out there because I neglected to put it in. We don't conduct our business at our meeting. We give announcements, we have our speaker, and we go home, and that's another thing about doing our business online. We get a visitor who comes in, and then too often groups will have their business before they have their speakers, and the visitors don't care. And actually puts it off. And sometimes business runs long, and then the speaker gets less time, or then the meeting runs long, or then there's a hurry, scurry to leave. I think that's one of the strengths of our group, that when we meet, we don't do our business first. We get to know one another, and we have our speaker, and then we have an opportunity to interact with the speaker and interact with each other afterwards. So just a thought to consider.
There's one society here, I know Grand Prairie does the same thing, and I found that very, as a speaker coming in, that was great. It's not that I don't enjoy their business meetings, and I stayed for their business meeting. But it is nice if you're visiting a group that you do have that option. I think that's a great way to consider doing it.
I'll just add, when we do evaluations, I'm with Dallas Genealogical Society. We do evaluations of our all-day seminars, which we have three times a year. And we did, periodically, we do a survey of our membership about their interests. And I want to speak to the comment of someone made, and I apologize, I didn't catch your name, that what is it about the daytime versus the evening time? And one of the dreams I have is that at one point in time, when I look out in this room, we will reflect the diversity of our population, not our history as genealogical societies. And in order to get in a diverse population, in order to get more youth involved in our society, more African Americans involved in our society and our programming, more Hispanic people, more Asian people, when you have your meetings matters. The feedback I get, and again, it's if 90% of your attendees are of our mature population and are coming as they can or looking online, that's great. But younger people will say, we work and we are available on Saturdays, or available on Sundays or evenings. You know, when you do things during the day or you do things on a Friday, you're automatically excluding them. So now, again, you have to look at this, you know, statistically, if you're getting most of your feedback from those people who look like me, you know, I'm not representing that other population. So I listen very carefully to the youth who do come, to younger people who are in their 20s and 30s and 40s, and hear what they say. And I try to go up and talk to all of them when they come to our seminars and see. And timing for them really matters. Doing things, as Patty was saying, online really matters. So I think there's some opportunities for collaborating with other societies, like with Hispanic societies, with doing joint programming and seeing, they probably can benefit from some of our leadership and management stuff, and we from them, and perhaps we can do more of those kind of programs going forward. So I know I'm the facilitator, but I had a comment. Anybody else? On this topic? Sure.
Your comments reminded me of this. Any tips for reaching out to the African-American community? We do have a few members that are, and they're regular members and get involved, but over the recent past, I think our organization has tried to reach out. We don't seem to have a lot of members or visitors come from the African-American community. Any tips on that or comments about that?
Well, one of the things that I'll say is that when I worked in a library, an academic library, and we wanted to have our various boards and advisory boards reflect the population. You work in a public place. Many of you work for government, anything, whether it's a library or not. You know, one of the pushes that you get is to have representation of the community you serve in your organization. Mm-hmm. And one of the first things that I learned that actually worked is you've got to have representation in the leadership. And so I think recruiting, reaching out in from your position to an African-American organization and inviting someone to lunch. Hey, you know, do you have a few people at the head of your organization who can meet with us and we'll go to lunch and we'll talk about this? And you try to build common ground, and then it's like, hey, would you serve on our board? Would you help us serve that population if there's a need? That's just one thought.
Yeah. One of our officers, she does our monthly newsletter, is African-American, and she tries to reach out to her community. Maybe one thing we're fixing to do, where we are co-sponsoring a big a cleanup project day for an old cemetery that's grown up out in the woods with a local black church, and we're doing that next month. So hopefully maybe that'll generate some interest in genealogy or plant a seed for the future or something, but we are doing that.
Good for you.
I want to say one thing towards your topic too. You ask how you can recruit more. Yeah. I think you need to talk to the leaders in the African American community. Maybe you need to sit down, take them to lunch, and ask them, how can our organization best reach people and them? Ask an expert, in other words.
Thanks. All right, we have 1 minute left. John, bring it in.
Yeah, I helped get the African-American Special Interest Group going within the Dallas Genealogical Society back in 1992. And the way we did it was relatively straightforward. Sammy Lee, who at the time worked in the genealogy section here, she and I got together, and one of the topics we talked about was the need for greater diversity in DGS. She was, as a staff member in the genealogy section, she was seeing African Americans coming in to do research, and then some of those people would show up at our nearly all-white DGS meeting. So she and I came up with the idea, we'd put up a sign, and we'd say, on this date, at this time, if you're interested in African American, forming an African American special interest group, please show up. We had 30 people show up, and there is an African-American special interest group in DGS because of that one step. So I just point that out as an opportunity.
Thanks, John.